Okay, we've talked over the years many times on this program about floor covering retailers getting into the cleaning business. Now, many have seen success in this. However, there's a lot, it seems to me, that have never approached the business or have not been successful in it. I'm not sure exactly why. We're going to talk about that this morning. Bill Yadin is with us. He is the cleaning facilitator for John Don. He's also been in this cleaning business for decades, I guess it is. I'll ask him how long here. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully, Dave. How about yourself?
I'm well. How long have you been in the cleaning business?
Since 75. So 46 years, I guess. Yeah, 46 years.
And they said it wouldn't last.
Yeah.
Now, many retailers that I've talked to have been in the cleaning business for a long, long time. I think, though, most of the people that I've talked to have either never tried it or they tried it in a half-hearted way. What's your thoughts? Why do some people make it and some people don't?
Well, of course, it's a long process. And like everything else, there's so many things that play into it. But I would say the number one reason is that too many retailers decide, yes, we should be in the maintenance of the products we sell. And so what they do is they go, let's see, we got Johnny out here who's our installer, and there's some days that he's not busy. On those days, let's send him out to clean carpet. That way we've already got an employee in-house. We don't have to get anybody else. We can really start off simple with maybe a portable machine or something. And they just do it as a kind of nice to have instead of like, here's a program, here's the system, here's how we're going to do it, and it's going to have its own P&L, its own person, and everything else. That will work, but very few people go that way.
I see. So they're not really in it with both hands and both feet.
No. They're doing it. It's kind of like, I heard this would be good. Somebody in California did it, and they said it was really good. So
well,
great.
I mean, it seems to me it's an excellent way to maintain contact with a customer and to also produce new customers for your floor covering business.
It's a no-brainer, Dave. Think about it this way. You are a floor retailer, right? And you tried a couple times, kind of half-heartedly, like you said, to get into this business, and you found out that some of the guys that are out there actually lost customers for you. Well, it's because you didn't start with the right person and the right program. The idea is that somebody calls you up and you say, you know, we don't do that, Mrs. Jones. We just find that's better turned to somebody that does that every day for a living. And they say, well, who do you recommend? Well, we don't recommend anybody because, you know, we just find we don't know which ones are good. So they go and they look on Google and said, oh, here's a guy that looks pretty good. And hire him, does a nice job. And then they start talking to him about the carpet in the back bedroom. And he says, oh, you know, well, I work with an excellent flooring dealer over here, you know, a couple blocks from here. Said, why don't you check with him? So she goes, oh, well, thank you very much. And so she goes to him for her next purchase. And so the guy that turned it down not only didn't make any money from it, but he lost his current customer. Yeah. I just think it's sad.
Well, it seems to me in this era, there are fewer customers coming in almost every retail store, and they're looking for ways to make more money from existing customers. They're adding countertops and they're adding cabinets and window treatments and other stuff. It would seem like this would be another smart add-on.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Dave, you're so right there that today's consumer doesn't want to go out and stop at multiple places. They don't want to deal with multiple vendors, no matter what they're doing. Why do you think so many people are going to Amazon right now? Because they don't even have to leave home. They just get online and go, oh, yeah, I need some toilet paper and I need this. Yeah, I need some fertilizer. Yeah, let's get some new lights. You know, and just kind of like sit there at the computer and do all this. Well, they're not going to go to each individual one. And that's kind of affected all of society and how people purchase in general. So I think it's just, once again, it's a no-brainer.
There's residential and there's commercial.
Yes.
Both get in one and not the other. What would your recommendation be?
Well, I've found over the years, and I've been involved in a lot of it, especially from the flooring retailer franchise side, the commercial seems to be the one that's doing the best and has done long term. Really, commercial got into more of the overall surfaces. You go into a say a 12-story office building or that, you are going to find all different types of floorings. But not only the floorings, think about all the workstations, furniture, sofas in like the offices, the different upholstery that options that you have there. And really, when you're cleaning, say, carpet, and you clean a partition and some chairs next, you know, office chairs, it's all pretty much all you're going to do is change a tool and maybe a minor bit of chemistry. So one of the things about commercial, I think that's so great, is that you can go in just like janitorial services used to do. You don't give them a price for the flooring, for the carpet, for the partitions. You give them a package deal. And what they actually do now is just take that and put it into a monthly fee. Let's say that it's $800 a month, and this takes care of everything. And so especially for the people for their budget, they're just going, oh, this is great. Just plug that number in. It doesn't change up and down every month. It's one complete package. And the nice thing about that is that you may be coming in to do all desk chairs this time. But when you're walking through that office, you see that coffee spill over by the one desk. You pop out and you take care of that while you're there. And that's the whole thing in commercial maintenance. They're always talking about they don't want to see spots. And if you can keep those spots away, you are in like gold, and it's hard for anybody to come in and take that contract away from you because they don't even know what they pay. They'll come in and say, how much are you paying for your carpet cleaning? You go, I don't know. So I mean, this is, it just works so much easier.
Okay. Now, residential, yes. is there a downside to that?
The residential is what I think more of them have gone into. And if you look at all our big buying groups, Carpet One, Max Care, Abbey Carpet, you name it, all of them have tried to go into the residential side of the business, Carpet Max, and none of them have done well. And I think it came back to that thing about they just said, okay, let's just kind of, yeah, we'll buy that truck, you know, because our franchisor said this is the way to go. But then they never really pushed after that. They said, I bought it. And they kind of expected just to fall in their laps. And it would, but it just takes a little bit of effort making sure that all of your previous customers knows about this. And you have to actively market it just like you're actively marketing your flooring.
I got you. Now, in terms of profitability, cleaning in the commercial arena versus a residential, how would you compare the profitability of each?
I would say the nice thing about the commercial, once again, is it's normally contractual long-term. So in other words, at least yearly contracts. So you know you've got that steady income coming in. Residential tends to be what we call restorative cleaning, like they get it cleaned this year for the holidays. And then they may not clean it again for 2 years. And there's no guarantee that they're going to call you again unless you continually market to them after the last service. And they don't do that. That's true in just every, not even talking about flooring retailers, but everyday cleaners. They forget that people, it's not a priority to take care of your carpet. It just isn't. There's so many other things that are so much more exciting, you know, than that. They just kind of, they'll put that off.
Well, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, after 46 years, I'm thinking, I wonder if they'll ever get it. Yeah. I may have to wait another 46.
Yeah, one of these days.
Yeah.
But yep. Now, the opportunity, I mean, one of the things I was thinking about, just the opportunity to sell more floor coverings. You've got a guy in there, you're a floor covering retailer, you've got a cleaner in there. Hey, you know, I can clean this, but, you know, you might want to consider replacing this. I don't know if it's worth cleaning. That would seem to be a good idea.
It is an awesome idea. And that's, I'll tell you what, you know, you're not getting people, like you said, you're not getting people physically in stores right now, right? But, I mean, just telling them about it, say, Mrs. Jones, you know, I've just down at Frank's floor covering, you know, and they have got some of the most beautiful luxury vinyl plank. I said, I am shocked at how much it looks like wood. I can't tell the difference. And yet it's so much less expensive. And they go, really? You know, and I start, you just throw that seed out, especially, and I'm not trying to be sexist here, especially women. They're the ones that are about decorating their homes. And you tell them, boy, you wouldn't believe how good this would look in your family room, right? And so much easier to maintain. And take it from me, I maintain it. You know,
yeah. So then the cleaning salesperson or the cleaning person would get a little commission if he were able to open the door and something like that?
Yeah. You could, I mean, it all depends on how far you want to go with this, but you could even have a couple of sample boards in your truck. You know, I mean,
well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take up much room. A couple, maybe something for, you know, some carpet, maybe a little one or two for some tiles and ceramic, you know, or something on the LVP side, you know, just kind of like just here, Mrs. Jones, I'm going to go ahead and get started back here. I'm just going to leave these up here in the counter. You want to take a look at them? Fine. If you don't, I'll take them back when I'm all done. Yeah. You know, she's going to be looking at them.
Well, that's the thing, too. I've been talking about, or I've been thinking in terms of carpet, but I mean, cleaners clean every surface at this point in time, don't they?
Yeah. We love the LVP. I mean, it just, the whole thing is that it's so simple. Where we run into problem with it is when people have decided that they want to put some sort of wax, their own thing on theirs. And especially the ones where they got, you know, a matte finish and they thought it was going to be a shiny finish. Now they want something on there and they put on some horrible stuff, which just messes things up. Now we got to go back to the old stripping and waxing, where if it was just the way it is, it's so easy to maintain. Matter of fact, we sometimes worry on the maintenance side that it's too easy to maintain. And consumers may say, well, I can do that, you know, but yeah, they can, but they don't.
I mean, yeah.
They say it's easy, but while you're here, why don't you go ahead and take care of it this time?
Yeah.
I can give you the best analogy that I've seen over the years, Dave, is leather, because leather has become so big on the maintenance, and just in homes, and that leather recliners and that, and so many of them will buy a product called Leather Master when they're at the store. It's a nice little add-on for the salesperson. He goes, well, here, while we're here, let's go ahead and get you with this little package. Real simple, wax on, wax off, kind of like the Karate Kid. And people go, oh yeah, let's do that. And they never open it up. They call you up, we come out, we use the same product. We do wax on, wax off. And then they're happy. So, and we're happy.
So. We had talked about sales opportunities on the residential side. Do you see sales opportunities on the commercial side as well?
Oh, yeah, because what's going to happen now? You think about the cost of putting in new flooring in any commercial building. I mean, depending on the size of the building, you could be $250,000, $500,000, you know. And they're not going to come in and have Joe's janitorial service come in there and mop this floor with dirty mops. I mean, that's really what goes into a lot of these situations, especially all the products that got grout. Because remember, as you go into that grout, it's lower, which means when they're doing the mopping with the dirty water, all that stuff seeping down into the grout. And that's how people judge how good or how well a floor that's got tile and grout on, how well it looks, is how does the grout look? And so the idea here is that you just spent all this money and you're going to let somebody who doesn't know it. You just bought your new Mercedes and you're going to let the shade tree mechanic take care of it. It's just not wise.
The guy that goes in to clean a commercial building, he sees a place in the floor that needs replacing, or you know, a particular area. Can he do something about that and generate a sale?
He could, but I'd say it's a lot more difficult than it would be in residential, because you're talking, you know, you're going to have to get layered up here on who's actually responsible for that. But I could see it easily in carpet, but of course, you know, that's in commercial buildings. We know that any carpet that's going in most likely is going to be a carpet module square.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and we know that that's one of the big benefits, is that we can pop that one out, pop a new one in.
Now, and I mean, there's some synergy to this in the residential, I guess in commercial as well. You have a customer that bought carpet, for example. You can, I guess, find a vehicle to help you go in and clean that on some regular basis. That would seem to be the real kicker to this. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just basically just bring in somebody that is, and we mentioned this beforehand, is probably the best ones that are doing this right now be Millican. And Millican has their franchise called Millicare, doing a wonderful job, right? Just, and I've trained a lot of them. They come to, you know, like a John Don for a carpet class, even though they have a franchise, but they send a lot of their technicians. And I always find that they're pretty sharp too when they come in there, and knowing that what an ideal situation. We sold you the product and we are maintain the product. And they pretty much make it sound like they don't want anybody else in on that product. So you can almost do the same thing. I mean, when you're going in as a maintenance provider, you know, if you can come in along with the flooring rep and get their approval, boy, that's a win-win for all parties.
Yeah. And it saves them the idea of having to go out and find somebody and they don't know if they're going to do a good job or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. It's the industry I'm in, and some days I'm disappointed in our industry. Let's put it that way. You know, so finding that right person or right company is still one of the critical aspects.
Now, on the residential side, you sell somebody some carpet. Do you offer them a coupon or some sort of way to get you back in the door to clean that at some time?
Well, there are several independent cleaning companies that will go in and say, I'll make you a deal. You know, you let me, you can sell the carpet, right? And then I will provide you at say cost or something that you tell them within the first year, on the anniversary of the first year, or maybe 6 months, whatever you decide, that we will come in and clean that at no charge to the consumer. So, I mean, that's a great way to go about it. Now, what is the cleaner getting out of that? Well, he's getting a new customer, right? And if he's a smart cleaner, then he's going to look around here and say, you know, the average new home today, they said, probably has about five different flooring surfaces. And so, all right, so I'm coming in to clean this living room, dining room, hall, which was a new carpet. But while I'm there, I go, oh, look at over here. We got some tiling grout. Oh, look at over here. We got leather recliners. Oh, I mean, a good cleaning firm provides a lot of services. I mean, we can always get into, you know, draperies and all different types of things there. You know, as you mentioned earlier, how about countertops? With all the granite and all the different things, man, countertops are just like a dream come true for cleaners. I mean, they're just so simple, you know. So it's like I'm paying you, Mr. Flooring Retailer, just to let me into that home, right?
Yeah.
And,
well,
and once I'm in there, I'm good.
Okay, a retailer decides to get into the business, both residential and commercial.
Yes.
As you had said, you got to look at it as a business. I would suspect that means hiring somebody that knows how to clean and knows how to run a cleaning business.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a given, it would seem.
Yes, and that could be two different things. I mean, running a business and knowing the technical aspects are really two entities. Now, if it's a larger retailer, he may already have somebody, maybe somebody coming up in the family. You know, you've got kids coming up. Maybe one of them is pretty sharp on the managerial side. He may run that division, but hire somebody that's got the technical skills that he does not have. Right now, we, of course, you know, my job is training people on these things. So it's not like you can't take somebody that's new and train them how to clean things. There are things on the flooring side that'll be more difficult, say like marble or something like that. But most things, most carpet and that is going to be different until we get into like rugs. Then rugs are a little bit different entity. They are a lot more like fabrics than they are like carpet because of the wools and silks and all the other things that we're bringing into these rugs. That requires a little bit more training.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. First, what would it cost? The guy decides, okay, I'm going to get in the business, residential and commercial. Talk about the equipment. Is that the same equipment on residential and commercial side? And if so, how much does it cost?
Okay, so I would say let's leave out the van at this point because it all depends on what they're getting. So just the equipment itself, I would say a truck mount, which is what you're going to want, a truck mount hot water extraction system is what you're going to want. You're probably going to pay somewhere in the $20,000 to $40,000 range for that. All depends on capacity and all those other things. For the commercial side, we're still going to have that truck mount, but we will add in a lot more on the what we call encapsulation side. You and I have talked about that a lot, which is going to be simpler equipment, say somewhere in the $3,000 range for that side. And that's going to take care of most of that. If we're talking about hard surfaces such as tiling grout. And that all we're going to do is add a tool to the hot water extraction, right? And then we have a couple other things. What's really nice and what's changed here is the encapsulation side. We're starting to find how we can use that on things like hardwood floors. You know, as long as they understand hardwood floors, maintaining them, not sanding and redoing the hardwood floor. That's a totally different entity. Too often people have their hardwood floors for 25 years and think somebody coming in to do maintenance will take care of all the scratches and gouges and everything. And that's not going to happen with that. But you could say for commercial and residential, we could probably equipment and everything without the van, I would say under $50,000.
Okay. So that's not so bad.
No.
Now, rug cleaning, you mentioned, I can remember being at one of the shows. In fact, I'm sure I interviewed you, and they had several people that were selling the whole system to clean rugs. You know, that seemed to be a hot property.
I'll tell you what, today, Dave, if I had to go back into the business today, I probably would look at just setting up a small building like a large garage and set up a rug plant inside of that garage. Because there's, number one is the rugs that are out there today. Although we do have a lot of olefin rugs out there today, we still have a tremendous amount of wool rugs, silk, and everything else out there. And that is a specialty. You need to know what you're doing on those, or else you're going to be buying a $20,000 rug. I would definitely look at that, because we know that rugs have just taken such a huge increase in the market because of the hard surface floors. And everybody gets a hard surface floor. They said within 30 days, 70% of those people will buy a rug because we still love the textural feel and benefits that we get from textiles. So there's going to be a ton of those out there. And understanding that, being able to pick that rug up and take it back to your shop. And as I mentioned, maybe I can also maintain the floor that's underneath that while the rug's in my plant. Yeah. So I think it's one of the great opportunities. And I think people have really gotten serious about this in the last, say, 5 to 7 years. It's been a tremendous growth opportunity within the cleaning industry.
Mm-hmm. But one thing from having covered many of these, I guess, conventions and get-togethers in this business, certainly education is everywhere. I mean, this is, is a business that seems to run on education.
Yes,
learning how to clean specific surfaces.
Yeah. And so much of it is because there's so many people who want to get into a small business. It's the American way. But they find that some of them are very expensive and require a lot more education, say, from college, universities, where you can take somebody that's a high school go-getter, right? Somebody didn't go to college, but he's got the enthusiasm, the passion, the entrepreneurial spirit, he can get into this industry pretty easily and start off at a pretty low investment. You know, he doesn't have a truck mount right away, but he buys a portable unit, a lot more work, but he can still do a good job. And as he builds that business, now he moves into that truck mount. And I love the fact that if I have to train somebody, I'd much rather they started with a portable unit, because they don't have all the bells and whistle and heat and vacuum and everything from a big system. They learn the proper process of cleaning a textile, as opposed to the guy, his dad buys him a truck because, you know, he spends $60,000 because the kid's not going to do anything. Gives them this truck and the kid doesn't. Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just, I don't even want him in the room with me.
Get out of here. Here's your truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would seem like floor covering retailers, commercial and residential, are spending money to advertise as we speak. This would seem to be a way to add something on at little or no cost. I mean, it would seem to be an excellent way to get people in the door.
Well, you already have a proven list of people that like you, right?
Yeah.
What's marketing? Getting people to know, like, and trust you. Well, if they've already bought from you and you didn't rip them off, then they don't like and trust you. So if they want to go to someplace and say, hey, I just bought all this beautiful carpet, now who takes care of it? Well, I don't know. So let's just throw that one right out the door here. This is just, it's, you know, if I say no brainer one more time, you'll probably start to edit me, but It is a no-brainer.
Well, but just if you're already doing advertising, putting something on there, or some of your ads that you clean flooring surfaces, it's almost free.
I mean, just if it's a print ad or a postcard or anything, just that little sunburst right up there in the corner, it says, "Now offering flooring maintenance."
Yeah, good
Yeah,
idea.
I mean,
Now,
didn't cost you anything.
as I mentioned when we started, I'm sure a lot of flooring retailers feel that cleaning,
I know.
I remember talking about that, in the 90s, and I didn't like it then, and I don't know that I like it any better now. Sum this whole thing up for them, encouraging them to take another look at it.
I mean, that's basically, you look at it, and no matter what you buy today, you want after the sales service. And that's usually how people are determining. It's just like today, if they bought a cheaper, we won't say which particular fiber that's so popular and made out of these wonderful little bottles. We won't say which one that is, but well, they bought it because of the fact that it costs them less. But in a year from now, when it's all matted and crushed and everything, they're calling you up, kind of going, "Hey, I had this cleaned and it still looks bad." Well, that people forget about that part of it, right? They forget that they didn't spend as much money, right? They just remember a year or two from now, whatever they bought. And if they bought something that was decent and you can send that guy out to take care of it, it's going to look just like it did the day they installed it, right? Because you bought, number one, a decent product. You had it maintained like you should be, which means you have long-term loyalty that this customer is going to continue to come back to you to buy all those other things, especially when the guy that comes in to clean this stuff says, "Have you been back down to the store lately? We just got this new stuff in that you would not believe how beautiful it is. And we just added on now that we're actually doing countertops and other things there, you know." So, I mean, it's a continuous sales process that's in front of the customer, but you're not selling. You're providing them with opportunities. And that we know that, all the stats that you know better than I do, if I buy today and it's a carpet, you may not see me again for 7 to 10 to 12 years. How do I stay in front of the customer by putting somebody in there that takes care and maintains the beauty of the product that you sold them?
That's really the bottom line here. I mean, and make money in the process, I guess. Bill, I really appreciate you coming on. It makes total sense to me, and I think the timing here is great, especially when retailers are looking for new ways to make contact with people and make more contact with them. Thanks so much for sharing all this with us.
It's always my pleasure, Dave. You have a great week.
I will. You too. We've been talking with Bill Yeadon. He is cleaning facilitator, and that's a title which he dreamed up himself, I understand, at John Don. And this is Talk Floor TV.